This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. We're so excited to introduce you to Great Jones. Great Jones makes high-quality, thoughtfully designed cookware that's so stunning you won't want to put it away. They have everything from Dutch ovens to ceramic dishes to non-stick sheet pans. They've got everything you want. I have the Saucy, which is a terrific saucepan. It has curved sides. It has a pouring spout. It has a lid. And it looks so elegant. It's really a pleasure just to look at it on the counter, even before we're using it.
Yes, I love all the colors.
Yeah.
They make stunning gifts that are actually useful. Weddings, housewarming parties, birthdays. It's the perfect gift for the foodie in your life. So upgrade your kitchen and replace those old rusted hand-me-downs with bold, beautiful, long-lasting pieces from Great Jones. Get started today at greatjones.com and get an extra 15% off your first order with promo code HAPPIER. That's greatjones.com, promo code HAPPIER.
Hey, and welcome to Happier, a podcast where we talk about ideas for how to build happier habits into your daily life. This week is episode 30, which means it's a very special episode, so we have a very special guest today, me, Gretchen's 16-year-old daughter, Eliza.
I'm Gretchen Rubin, a writer who studies happiness, good habits, and human nature. I'm in New York City, and with me, as you can tell, is my daughter, Eliza, our very special guest, and also my sister, Elizabeth Kraft.
Gretchen, before we dive into our very special episode with Eliza, which, of course, we're both incredibly excited about, let's give everybody an update about our themes for the year. In episode 26, we talked about how September feels like the start of a new year.
Yes.
It's sort of the other January, which you talk about a lot in Happier at Home. And so we've asked people to send us their themes for the year.
Yeah.
And oh my God, we've gotten great ones.
I know. It made me want to add new themes for my own year.
Right? I know. We had acceptance. What I loved is this was, she wants to accept her children's choices as well as accept her 52-year-old body.
Yeah.
Which I thought was great. Somebody else, their word is imperfect, and that comes from a recovering perfectionist. I'm sure you could relate to that.
Healthier. This is from someone who said they needed to lose weight and they have a guide dog. And in a few weeks, they're getting a younger dog to replace their older guide. And the younger guide will step it up and want to get places quicker. And so that's going to add a lot of healthier aspects to life, which is great.
There's also authenticity that comes from an actress who feels like she's forced to be who other people want her to be. And now she wants to be her authentic self, not just the version people will like.
Interesting.
And then somebody else had the word moving because they're moving back to the Midwest from California. Something, of course, I can relate to, living in California and being from the Midwest. So these are just, Gretchen, some of the words we've gotten. They're just, we love getting them. We've been love reading them. Henry, our producer, has loved reading them.
So keep them coming because it's so, like every single one sounds like a fantastic idea to shape the year.
So Gretchen, this week, Eliza is going to propose or try this at home. And before we let her do that, let me just tell you a little bit about Eliza. She's 16 years old. She's the older sister to Eleanor, who's 10. She plays lacrosse. She loves absurdist humor. And of course, never does anything wrong.
Not ever.
So, hi, Eliza. Welcome to the show. We're so thrilled to have you.
Hi.
Eliza, what is your try this at home?
All right, so my try this at home, it's to give yourself a mission when you have free time. Because, I mean, at least for myself, probably more because I'm in high school, free time, it feels really kind of weighty for me. I always feel anxious that I have too much and I'm not spending it in the best possible way. And I feel like it's way better when you have a goal and you can accomplish it and look back at the day and say, all right, I did something. So, for example, one day I told Mom, you know, give me a mission. She said, go buy some chorizo sausages. So I did that. And
no. It wasn't just buy some chorizo. It was like, go get the best chorizo. Go
the most high quality.
Yeah. It's like, find the best chorizo in all of New York City.
Which I attempted to do. And we traveled downtown, went to various, you know, artisanal cheese and sausage places.
Of which there are many in New York City.
Well, yeah, because part of my goal is also to explore the city so much because my school is in one neighborhood and that's the same neighborhood as my house.
Right.
And I'm super attached to New York. I can't stand to be away for too long. So I just really want to make the most out of where I am while I can before school comes into the picture.
But one of the things, just as your mother, that I will observe is you do seem to feel, if you have some free time, it bums you out if you feel like you haven't used it well.
No, I mean, 100%.
And I feel like I love this mission because, or this try this at home, because I feel like if I have free time and I don't choose something like a mission, then I can't decide what to do and I end up doing nothing because I'm paralyzed. And so if I would just decide this is the one thing I'm going to focus on, that I would do that and feel a sense of accomplishment.
But sometimes even just saying, like, if it's a rainy day and you don't want to go outside, just saying, like, today is my day to sit here and not do anything, then at least you feel like you did what you set out to do.
Because yes. I gotta say, from my observation, you do go on these missions, that's true, but you also spend a lot of time, like, watching reruns of The Office or, like, playing on your phone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like you're not, like, constantly maximizing every minute to charge around the city.
So the mission doesn't have to be so grand. It could be just something that you really think you're going to feel good about when the day is done.
So if you have a mission to just, you know, pick up a loaf of bread from the grocery store, once you've done that, you have freedom to play games on your phone for 3 hours without feeling guilty. And I say that in a good way. I think that I think everyone needs sometimes to sit on the couch and, you know, play games on their phone.
I think part of it also is saying, like, you know, once I say I'm going to do it, then I'm going to do it. Because one thing that, you know, I benefited from your advice with this was that...
That's me.
Yes. From Mom's advice.
Yeah.
Was,
I'll take it.
Yeah. That if you feel bad or you feel kind of upset or, you know, in that mood that, you know, I get in sometimes, which is, I don't want to go outside, but I don't want to stay at home, and I don't want to stay in my PJs, but I don't want to get dressed, and I don't want to, you know, it's like option sounds like the good option. Sometimes you just have to get yourself out there and make yourself do something, which, you know, when I was studying for finals, I was really nervous and I was kind of bummed and I, you know, wanted to do something, but I couldn't because I had to study. Mom just said, all right, we're going out. And it was like 8:30 at night. And I said, no, Mom, I just want to stay home. But it was like, we're going downtown to just walk around, which we did. And I, you know, I use that because a few weeks ago, Jake and I were kind of just...
That's her boyfriend,
yeah.
Jake, was mentioned in episode 22.
In the interview
we interviewed
his mother.
Yeah, Roseanne Cash.
You know, we were just sitting around being like, well, you know, what are we going to do? We're both kind of grouchy. And I said, all right, you know, I'm pulling a Gretchen Rubin. I'm pulling a Mom. We're gonna hop out and I'm going to make us do something because I know that it's going to help, even if right now you don't feel like doing it,
it's going
to help. So we went to Queens to the Museum of the Moving Image.
Oh,
had a blast. I mean, saw some really cool things, and ultimately, like, it helped to get out of the house, even if at the moment you're saying I don't want to, and at least then you don't feel like, well, I just wasted my day, you know, being blue.
Eliza, it sounds like with this thing with Jake, you might be a budding happiness bully.
I know. I'm a happiness bully, but also happiness victim, I would say.
So true.
So thank you, Eliza. And let us know if you try Eliza's Try This at Home tip and if having a mission works for you. Find us on Twitter, Facebook, email. Go to my site, GretchenRubin.com, for the post for episode 30.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. LinkedIn does all that while making the process easy and intuitive.
I know that when I've been hiring, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to find quality candidates. It's really hard to handle the process. Hiring is easy when you have lots of quality candidates, like with LinkedIn Jobs. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
So, Gretchen, it's time for our interview with Eliza. And I have to say, I have never been more excited about any segment we've done in 30 episodes. How about you?
Absolutely. And, you know, I kind of anticipate that, you know, when you go out to dinner with like another couple and then your husband starts revealing all these like deep secrets and like thoughts that you've never heard before. You're like, wait, you never told me that. I'm like, I kind of anticipate that this might happen right now. Like, I'm going to learn a lot about my daughter. So here we go.
Here we go. Well, Eliza, first, I want to ask you, because we were doing an update about the our themes for the year. Do you have a theme for the year?
I do. I was thinking about junior year and everything kind of headed my way. And I think the most, you know, the best one is stay afloat. Because, you know, while it would be nice to have something like be outstanding or whatever, that's just really that just seems like a little high standards for a rising junior in the year that most people say is the worst of high school, if not life. So I would say staying afloat, because I just wanna get through it and end up hopefully in a good place after this year comes by.
Yeah, well, a year from now, it'll be over.
That's your thing, Elizabeth, is you just think about, on the 1 year anniversary, it'll all be behind me. And here's a question. So Eleanor, your sister, is 10. She's in middle school. And we kind of think of teenage as being like the most intense, toughest time. But do you think in a way socially that middle school is tougher than high school, or is it just different?
I feel like it just depends. I mean, I love seventh grade, but
oh my gosh, you know, that was my worst year.
But for most people that I talk to, they're like, oh, that year was the worst year of my life. Yeah. That was so horrible. So I don't know. I feel like once you get into high school, things kind of tend to open up. Yeah. I mean, at least in my experience, it's less like the movies where it's like you got the nerds and the jocks and, you know, whatever, and everyone's kind of judgy, and more like people are more accepting and you meet people from other grades.
Yeah, I definitely expanded my social circle in high school.
Yeah, and I feel like even if you don't expand your social circle, at least you somehow learn to grow into yourself, which I mean... You know, let me not get too cocky about that, because, I mean, obviously, you know, being 16 and a half or whatever my age is, clearly still a struggle for us all. And I feel like, you know, watching Eleanor, little kids are often trying to be more like teenagers, which is hard because, I mean, it's harder trying to be something you're not. I mean, maybe watching as an adult, teenagers are always trying to be like adults, you know, I don't know. But it looks hard to try to copy something that's also notoriously tough.
Speaking of perception of teenagers, it's like, I feel like everyone's perception is that teenagers are always on social media and they're always just putting stupid things out on social media. Yeah. And I'm just dying to know, when you post a picture, do you think like, oh, college admissions people might look at this? Or when I'm 35, my future employer might Google me and see this picture? Or are you guys so used to having your lives out there that you don't even think of that way?
I mean, we don't really talk about it. Maybe people think about it more than they say openly. But I mean, at least for me, I feel like I'm not going to put something up that I'm embarrassed of now. So why would it embarrass me? I mean, maybe that's flawed logic, but just kind of as an automatic filter for myself, I don't put, you know, harmful things up.
Do you ever worry that somebody else will take a picture of you or do something that would upset you?
I mean, for the most part, I don't really see pictures of people that would hurt them. People listen to each other. If you say, take that down, like, I really don't like that up there. My parents are going to kill me.
Yeah.
You know, they'll.
Does that happen?
Yeah, it does. I mean, yeah, it does. Yeah. I mean, I've seen a few people get into arguments over that, but ultimately, like, you realize you don't want to be that person, so everyone just kind of keeps each other's back.
Well, and I have to say, like, I have seen situations where, like, there'll be a crowd of people and everybody's on their phone.
Of course.
And that seems like, to someone who's not a digital native, that can seem a little bit pathetic. So do you find that often, that, like, it'll be, people will be physically together, but they're on their phones? Like, what's going on there?
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like more often than not, if everybody's on their phones, it's showing each other pictures of someone you know, showing each other funny things you've seen. It's rare that each person is individually on their phone.
So if you meet someone and you might be friends with them, you'll go and look at their, I don't know if you use Twitter or whatever, but you'll look at their feed and sort of get a sense of their personality and their interests.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's kind of funny how much you can tell from looking at someone's, you know, Facebook or something, or realize you know someone in common. And then when you actually meet, maybe it's less awkward. It makes everybody feel a little bit more kind of
familiar.
Yeah, I think so. Like, oh, or sometimes I'll be walking down the street and I'll be like, oh, I'm friends with that girl on Facebook. Never met her, but I'm friends with her on Facebook.
That is just weird.
I know.
That's funny. That's funny.
But do you feel, as just judging, you don't seem that preoccupied with, like, tinkering with it,
no.
Or, like, what are people going to think about it? Do you think some people get kind of consumed with crafting an image that they're projecting? Or
I mean, maybe. I feel like more than on Facebook, though, that would be on Snapchat.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'll be with a friend. I mean, if you look at some of the things people put on Snapchat, what they really care about is showing who they're with.
Oh.
And so, you know, what people often care about is proving, you know, I was with these people, I was at this party. Sometimes
right.
People will just post pictures of them or videos of themselves, you know, in a club just so that you know that they're having a good time.
Right.
So.
But isn't that a lot of pressure, like, to feel like, oh, I need to get. Because it does sound like sometimes people run around taking pictures of themselves
yeah.
with the right people that other people see that they're with certain people.
I mean, I quit Snapchat because I thought it was a burden.
You did?
Yeah. No, I mean, I felt.
There's something I didn't know.
Yeah. No, I felt like.
I followed you on Snapchat and I couldn't figure out how to get it to work. So that,
I know.
That was a little bit of mommy surveillance that fell prey to my Luddite.
I just felt kind of like, you know. If everybody cares about this and I don't care about it, I'm better off of it than on it and kind of feeling uncomfortable with it.
Yeah.
Not uncomfortable, but just like, you know, am I doing this enough? Am I doing this too much? Am I supposed to take pictures with people every time I'm with them? I don't, you know,
right,
you'll be
right.
with people and everyone. I mean, I've been at parties and everyone's like, okay, time to take the pictures. Like, this is the time to take the picture just so that we can all show where we've been.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That does sound like a lot of work.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, maybe at the beginning of this conversation, I was a little more pro than I'm ending up realizing
I
that I am now. As you're
really
talking about it.
Talking yourself
but
out
it's,
of this.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but
yeah.
It's, I feel like it's great though, because I can look back and be like, oh, that was fun. And
yeah.
I mean, I just was stalking myself on Facebook the other day. I don't even remember
stalking
why.
Stalking myself on Facebook.
I mean,
that's,
I don't remember why,
yeah,
but I was smiling because I was
phrase.
Looking at it.
That's a great phrase.
I mean, I was looking at all the stuff, though, and I was like, I've had a good time this year.
Yeah.
It's like
so
a diary.
I feel like, yeah, yeah, for all the flack we get for taking pictures.
Okay, let me interject some happiness research here. So, like, Facebook aside, but in general, when people take pictures, they tend to take pictures of happy things. Like, you're much more likely to take pictures of a birthday party than, like, someone getting chemo or whatever. And so when you look back at pictures, it does tend to focus your attention and your memories on happier experiences. And so, and I mean, one of the criticisms people have of Facebook and social media generally is that it projects, like, sort of an artificially rosy picture of people's lives, and then that makes people feel bad about themselves because they're like, everybody else's life is so great, look how happy they are. But in a way, but you're saying, like, but it also had that effect on you, like, you look back and you're like, oh, there were all these happy times and these good memories, and so it was positive for you to
yeah no
focus on the positive.
I mean, if I may put out a second maybe transit home, is stalk yourself on Facebook, because I feel if you're a person who has a lot of photo albums, you know, go for that. But I feel like Facebook is special in certain ways, because, I mean, I remember you saying something like this, Mom, that the normal times are something that we often forget to,
yes,
like, keep
right.
track of. And
yeah.
I feel like Facebook, at least, you're going to have some more normal times, or maybe even just
right.
your phone photos. But
right.
it'll be like, oh, this time when my whole lacrosse team dressed up
in a certain color. Yeah. You know, the time we all went for preseason, the time my whole class got lunch together. Something, just things that...
Silly things that you might forget.
Yeah, things that you're not going to put in a photo album, but that actually you had a good time and you wouldn't remember otherwise.
I love that. Stalk yourself on Facebook.
Stalk yourselves.
Eliza, let me ask you this, because we do happiness stumbling blocks on our podcast, of course. What do you think is your biggest happiness stumbling block?
College and the future. I mean, horrified. I mean, truly, just scared beyond belief. I mean, to the point where I had a conversation with a friend about it and started crying out of fear, especially like once you're in high school, like at my school, your homeroom isn't just people in your grade. It's people of all the four grades of high school.
It's so like Hogwarts.
Yeah, 100% like Hogwarts. Yeah. Basically, I go to Hogwarts.
She wishes.
Yeah, don't I? So you're there as a, you know, freshman, sophomore, junior, seeing seniors get into schools and, you know, hearing them going through the processes. It's just everything all the time is shoved in your face. Some teachers say you'll love college and other teachers are like, it's a ton of pressure and you're going to have a terrible time in this year. And other teachers are like, they don't care about you. It's an institution. You know, college is all a myth. It doesn't matter where you go to school. It has no effect on your future.
I didn't know teachers were saying.
No, trust me.
So, interesting.
Which teacher?
There's a day.
It's good to have all points of views represented. Okay.
It is frightening to see people come and go, see people graduate, have them have the day where they all wear their college apparel. Ugh. And you're like, what if I'm not ready for this? I mean, I have friends who say, you know, I can't wait to go. I can't wait to leave the house. I'm like, I don't want to leave the house. Like, I mean, I like being able to have an issue and go talk to my mom about it.
So,
I know. it's just, it's frightening.
But it's a long way off. I mean, I will just say that.
You say that, but you're not on my Facebook feed watching all the people that, you know, I was in a class with
get
dropped
feed.
Off at college.
I know. You're not the only one stalking yourself
you know
Eliza Rubin on Facebook.
Oh, my God.
So, Eliza, you stay afloat. I mean, I think you said it best.
Yeah, that's right.
It's all tying together.
Yes, the scene.
Stay
all my
afloat.
Fears popping out right
and
on
just
the air.
No, it will all be okay, but I know that doesn't help, but one way or another it will be. Now I'm curious, off topic, if you have any favorite podcasts, because this is a podcast and I know you like podcasts.
I do have favorite podcasts. I listen to several. I have Comedy Bang Bang. I'm a comedy podcast fan because I like doing it, you know, when I'm on the subway, when I'm going to school. I would say particularly when I'm going to school, it's like, oh, God, 7:30, got to go to school. So I would say the more hilarious, the better for me. So I listen to Comedy Bang Bang, How Did This Get Made, the Andy Daly Podcast Pilot Project. But then I have a weird one that I love that I just discovered, which is this like old-timey 40s recording of mystery shows, like full-on actors.
Oh, like, it's like the creaking door and the
shoes
tapping across.
Yeah, it's like footsteps. I mean, I think I'm pretty sure it's like legit from the 40s and they just have tapes and just put them up. I love it. No, I mean, I was like trying to play it in the car and everyone was like, oh my God, Eliza, what is this? But it's the best. I love it.
Does Eleanor listen to... Does she listen to stuff?
Yes. She is advanced. She enjoys cereal.
Oh.
And
questionable judgment on my part.
Well,
but
I would say she didn't ask for permission. And she also listens to Happier with Gretchen Rubin, a podcast you may be familiar with.
Now,
I would say especially as a comfort item, which I'm guilty of myself because it's really nice to hear if you're in a bad mood. And once Mom was at like a conference or something and we were in the house and I heard Mom's voice and I was like, what's happening? And I walked in and there she was just listening to Happy.
Oh, that's so sweet. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was really
I thought it gave you the heebie jeebies to listen to it.
No, it doesn't. It gives me no heebie jeebies. No heebies or jeebies for me.
Daddy won't listen to it.
He won't?
No.
Adam doesn't listen to it either. But Jack loves it. And
he does?
Yeah. And he, in fact, he knows our logo. And he, the second I push play, he'll say, hell, is that your podcast?
So then maybe Maybe parents should record their voices.
No, that's a good idea.
Leave it for their children so that they have things to listen to when they're gone.
Yeah. Okay, well, we could talk all day, but we should try to wrap up. Eliza, I know before we end that you wanted to ask listeners for some advice. What was that?
I did and do. My question is, you know, people are always like, oh, what do you wish you could have told yourself when you were a teenager, when you were in high school? I happen to
be... Adults say that to
adult
each
selves.
Other.
Adult selves. I happen to be of that age, a teenager in high school. So please give me advice you wish you could have told your younger self, because I could actually benefit from that. So also, do you really think it was great being a teenager? Do you wish you could go back to your teenage days? Really want an answer to that, because I don't know how... I would just like to be motivated and look forward to the future. So, you know... Just going to stay afloat here in my junior year.
There are some stories from our mother's life that I love to hear about. I love hearing about how she played with a tin dollhouse when she was a girl. And just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for our families forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother and mother figures for years to come. And it makes a wonderful keepsake book so you never, never lose these wonderful stories and memories.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, like, what was your favorite toy as a little girl, or what was your first job? All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years, Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/happier. That's storyworth.com/happier to save $10 on your first purchase.
All right, it's time for Demerit and Gold Star, both of which are going to be provided by...
me.
Yes, Eliza. Okay.
All right, I will...
start with your demerit.
I will start with my demerit, which is that I tend to purchase too many facial products, specifically face masks.
Yes.
I can spend literally 2 hours in Sephora just wandering around trying to debate, you know, which is the best this, which is the best that. They all apparently do the same thing, but I don't buy it. I mean, okay, it's been good because I used a lot of facial products on my summertime, and I will say my face has been very soft. And it's very relaxing, like, if you're jet lagged to do it, and then, you know, you just feel good. But I would say it's probably not the best use of my time to go wander around and spend all that time just looking for face masks that, you know, probably won't do a ton for me.
It's a mission, but it's not a great mission? Or it's like, mission that's out of control?
I would say it is a great mission because you feel great about it, but it is also... out of control, and somebody needs to stop me because it just cannot be healthy to have such a giant pile of various, you know, chamomile face masks and face masks.
I was going to say, I can do this. And what happens is you end up with all these products that you never use. And then by the time you look at it, it's like, oh, that expired in 2012. You know, because they don't last forever. So it creates a lot of waste and then guilt associated with waste.
But I will say, skin feels great. So, you know, as a 16-year-old, you got to keep an eye out for your face.
But I have to say, as the mother of one of you and the sister of the other one of you, I think that not only do you guys buy a lot of facial products, you buy a lot of hair products. Like, Elizabeth, the last time I saw your shower, it was like, where do you have room to stand in there? I mean, it's a good thing you have a big shower because there's a lot of hair. And Eliza, we need to go through and take out the hair products.
We don't. Everything does a different thing, so you gotta have them all. It just depends on what you're feeling.
Well, I would say, Eliza, you can tell me if you agree. As your sister, I would say you could stand to use more products.
Touché.
Just borrow some.
Oh,
of mine.
Well, we're played, good. Elizabeth. Well played.
Well played, sister dear.
Okay, so Eliza has too many facial products. Now, Eliza, what is your gold star for the week?
All right. My gold star goes to family members, friends, the general public for convincing my parents to get a dog, specifically convincing my mother to get a dog.
Uh-huh.
And even more specifically, Gold Star goes to mom, Gretchen Rubin.
I'm paying her, of course, to like lavish me with praise.
Not at all. Because, you know, we really wanted a dog. I mean, I can go on and on about dogs all day, read so many books. There's a video called Puppy Party, which I'm in love with. I mean, you know, I get adrenaline from watching this because it's so cute. They just run around and there's a dog who's a narrator, who's a yellow lab.
I
mean,
God,
what is better than this thing? So, I mean, I'm just, my heart races. But I know it was a big sacrifice, a lot of responsibility going into it that I promise I will handle a lot of the stuff. But we know that realistically it's going to fall on you a little bit.
I will say that many listeners, even those who were very pro-dog, were like, oh, and by the way, you're correct to think that no matter what your children say, they will end up not doing it. So it will be interesting to see because you have sworn to me up and down.
I make no false promises that it's all going to be on the children.
I'm just hoping, Gretchen, in a few weeks or months, you're handing a Gold Star out to Eliza and Eleanor for all of the dog care that they're providing.
Yeah, and for encouraging me to get a dog, for like really making the case for getting the dog. So we shall see. And that's it for this episode of Happier. Remember to try this at home. Give yourself a mission. Let us know if you tried it and if it worked for you. And also remember to give Eliza advice. What advice would you give to your 16-year-old self and give it to her so she can get the benefit as her 16-year-old self?
Big thanks to our special guest, Eliza Rubin. It was so great to have you. Also, thanks to our producer, Henry Malofsky, and thanks to Andy Bowers and Laura Mayer from Panoply. Please let us know what you think of the show. Gretchen's on Twitter at Gretchen Rubin, and I'm at Elizabeth Kraft. Our email address is podcast@gretchenrubin.com.
And if you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend and subscribe to us on iTunes.
Until next week, I'm Elizabeth Kraft.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin. Thanks for joining us.
Onward and upward.
This podcast is part of the Panoply Network. Check out our entire roster of podcasts at itunes.com/panoply.
Gretch, I know from my own experience that baby making is not always simple. There is a lack of knowledge surrounding how to get pregnant. And when you want to conceive, there can be a lack of understanding and resources. Frida Fertility is the only one-stop shop that makes it easier to make a baby with a set of solutions for everything from reproductive health to ovulation tracking to conception aid.
Frida is simplifying the journey to parenthood with products that help you go from trying to making a baby. Frida products are innovative, easy to use, and accessible, from ovulation prediction to at-home insemination kits. This is baby making simplified. Find Frida Fertility on Amazon, at Target, and select CVS stores near you. That's Frida Fertility, F-R-I-D-A, Frida Fertility.